Hello everybody, this is Rick, and this is the Affair Recovery Q&A call for October 31st, 2011. I want to welcome you here today. So, our first caller asks, my communication style is often perceived as an attack or criticism by my husband, even when none is intended. While I can sometimes see, after the fact, how what I said could be construed negatively, I'm struggling with how to avoid this perception in the first place. I usually don't even know I've said something hurtful. Sometimes my husband responds with anger or sarcasm, a big clue. But normally he hides his hurt and says nothing to let me know I've said anything deeply wounding. I love my husband and want to communicate in a loving way. Many times I question what seems like attacks. Many times I make observations that seem like criticisms. I have heard women talking on Beyond EMS lessons in ways that seem perfectly harmless to me, and I've heard you respond with, what you said feels like an attack. How do I break this destructive pattern, especially when I don't even hardly know why I'm doing it? I am left feeling dumbfounded and frustrated that I cannot get this right. When I am aware that I've hurt him, how can I make amends in a non-threatening way? My attempts to speak the truth in love seem to fill him with a sense of dread. He just wants peace. Please help. This is a long-standing problem in our marriage, and I so want to break this pattern. Great question. And to begin, I want to talk about the Four Horses of the Apocalypse for just a minute. This is a concept presented by John Gottman. And any of John Gottman's books, I believe, would work well. I think he's got one book called The Seven Habits of Highly Successful Marriages. I hope that's the right title. But the Four Horses of the Apocalypse are criticism, defensiveness, contempt, and stonewalling. And you just kind of describe those as you went along. But what happens is if you do what we call a fast startup in bringing up a topic, and a lot of times that begins with a you statement. You did this, or even in a question, I want to talk to you about something. Those sorts of things will oftentimes trigger that defensiveness. Now, obviously, the defensiveness is a little bit of his problem, too. It's a two-party dance. But if you want to control your part, here are some very simple tips. One, start with trying to eliminate the word you and stay with I. Make as many I statements as possible. Number two, when you have something you want to talk with him about, a lot of times before you bring up the topic, you can say, there's something I'd like to talk to you about, but I'm not sure you won't be able to be defensive. But it's almost like you give him a warning piece. And sometimes when Stephanie will do that for me, she says, I'm afraid you'll be defensive. And I go, I'm not going to be defensive. And that really, just the fact that she says, I'm afraid you may be defensive about this, allows me not to be defensive and to hear what she's saying without blowing up. Third, when you're making a point of something that's happened, you want to give him feedback, always present his best argument for why he did what he did before you ever make your point. So in other words, if he's late getting home and you want to talk to him about that, you know, you might start that conversation off with, I know that you work really hard trying to keep our family safe, and you want to get as much done at work as possible before you come home so that you can be present with me. And I really appreciate the fact you do that. At the same time, when that occurs, it, you know, makes me scared. And when I get scared and feel disconnected, it makes it harder for me to be with you after you get home. Now, I did two things there. One, I probably gave the argument he was going to give for why he was going to be late. Two, if you'll notice, I used an I statement. I feel scared. It makes me feel this. And if you can just talk in terms of how it makes you feel, he's probably going to be more likely to respond in a positive way. But again, anything you read by John Gottman, I think, will be helpful. Rick, below is an email my husband sent in reply to me the day before he turned on the electric at the apartment on 9/15 he had rented secretly, and lying about anything being wrong. On 9/18, he announced at church he was a new Christian, and we had renewed our vows, thanked our small group and how they had helped him, and thanked me. He also asked them to pray for us in our pilgrimage. We had a spontaneous group hug, and he was so honored. Email I sent 9/14 at 3:46 p.m., and he replied in the evening after we went to contemplative prayer at church Wednesday evening and had communion together. I wrote, "I love you." He replied on September 14th, "I love you too." How can he do that and pretend nothing is wrong and let me believe everything is okay and better than okay, stating his love to me, to others, and our marriage? To begin, I want you to know that would be incredibly confusing, and I know you must have no idea what is up and down. All I can assume, hearing that type of situation, is this is somebody who's conflict avoidant and really wants to be liked by people, and rather than being real and being honest, he's going to pretend normal and pretend that everything is okay. But in some ways, there's a lot of indications there he doesn't really want to be in the relationship as much as he wants to avoid conflict and wants to avoid disappointing other people. Therefore, he says what he thinks will make everybody else happy, and then he does what he thinks will make him happy. And that's an incredibly difficult situation to be in, and I want you to know that I am sad that you're stuck in that place. Next question. Rick, I had asked several times to therapists and my husband that I thought I had post-traumatic stress from the 2.5 years of separation, disclosure, and divorce papers. I was traumatized deeply. Also, I had zero estrogen and very low levels of progesterone and testosterone that did not let my body and mind function properly in this processing of emotions, and it was difficult, if not impossible, to get through them. Throughout EMS and Harboring Hope, I was getting better, and my husband dropped the divorce and moved home and remarried. Although a deep part of me stayed in a place of shock. And then one day, I blew up, and it was ugly. I had not expressed my pain to my husband in this way, and I hurt him, and I'm sorry. Below describes me until I was able to get my hormones balanced. Post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms, difficulty falling and staying asleep, irritability, outburst of anger, difficulty concentrating, hypervigilance, feeling guilty, feeling jumpy and easily startled. A normal response to trauma becomes PTSD when you become stuck after a traumatic experience. The mind and the body are in shock, but as you make sense of what happened and process your emotions, you come out of it. With post-traumatic stress disorder, however, you remain in a psychological shock. Your memory of what happened and your feelings about it are disconnected. In order to move, it's important to face and feel your memories and emotions. Now I've gotten my hormones balanced, I'm a new person, and I feel so healed that I want to continue with my husband in our recovery and marriage. My question is, how can I convince and show my husband, who moved out and is resigned, that we will not have what it takes to succeed, to return to hope again? I love him, and I was happy to be alive with him, and I'm glad not to feel as dead as I was before. I want him to want our marriage again, and that we do have a great chance again. I want him to believe that, this time with the whole me and not the broken me. I've written him a letter to explain this to him. Please help. How can we get help? You know, there are times in life that people make changes. I see this frequently with people who have been unfaithful, too, where they actually make profound changes and get their act together, begin to live in a very, very different way. But because of the wounds their mate has, try as they might, there's really no way to get their wife or their husband to reengage. And there is a certain percentage of cases where it seems that they're almost incapable of being able to move forward because of the damage. I know that it seems terribly tragic and unfair, especially since you've done so much work to change. And that's what I say to people who have been unfaithful too. I mean, you've become somebody that I think anybody would like to be with. But if the other person feels incapable of moving beyond that hurt that they've experienced and they're unable to forgive and let that go, then basically their mate serves as just nothing more than a painful reminder. At times, if they're willing to look at it, time can begin to heal those wounds, but it's not even the matter of time, it's how you spend that time that heals wounds. And if they're not willing to look at themselves and maybe their own issues with letting go, and also it's almost some people want a different start. And when you come to one of those situations, all I know, and I talked about this in the last newsletter, is it's a time for mourning and grief. I don't know that there's anything to do beyond that. I'm terribly sorry to hear that you're in that situation. I'm thrilled that you've been able to find your life again. But I don't know that there's any way to convince someone, once they've decided they're done, to get them to see the light and to consider a different way. I thank you. Take care of yourself and live the way you know to live. Potentially in the future, as they begin to watch you, they'll begin to see that maybe there's something else and a new opportunity might arise. I'll be praying that that can happen for you. Next question. For more than a year, my husband, the unfaithful one, has been telling me he realized he had never loved the other woman and that I was the only woman he had ever truly loved. He's been adamant about this on many occasions and would say things like, "I wish I knew how to convince you I never loved her and I truly loved you." This past week, he went to a new counselor alone. After he came back home, he voluntarily said he had told the counselor the entire story of the affair and that he had treated me badly all the years of the affair and was still not treating me as he should. He asked him for help with that and with figuring out if what I felt for the other woman was love, close quote. These were his words. That hit me so very hard that I felt like he had just killed any feelings I had for him. I didn't say anything, but ever since then, I've just felt numbed and empty. I am totally unfeeling toward him, and I can't stand for him to touch me in any way, no hug, no hand-holding, much less sex. I feel like he's been lying to me over and over about his feelings for the other woman, and just trying to say what I thought I wanted to hear. Now I don't think I'll ever be able to believe anything he says. Help. Well, as I read your question and what he said, I certainly can understand why you feel very numb on the inside, and I know that he's been giving you the assurance that he didn't have feelings for the other woman. Also, as I look at what he said, and I want to be sensitive to the pain that you're feeling here, but it doesn't sound to me like he said he loved the other woman at all, but it sounds like he's finally willing to move far enough out of the denial for him to figure out what is it in him that's caused his response to you, to treat you as badly as he has, which I think oftentimes comes from basically our own self-centeredness and, you know, trying to figure out what was it that drew him to this other woman. If I were working with him, I would probably be asking him, you know, just in my work with him, that I would want you to figure out what you really felt for the other woman. I'd want him to begin to question that. Not that I think it's going to open up that the guy loved the other woman. I think what he's going to begin to find out is that not only has he used you in his own self-centeredness, but also how he objectified and used her, and that it really had nothing to do with her at all. What he'll find at the end of that search, ultimately, is that he was looking for some sort of validation. She was just a makeup mirror to him. And he didn't love her, he just used her. But at the same time, he used you. And this was his way of dealing with his feelings. I think this man probably has a lot to learn about love, period. I don't even know at this point, and not that he can't learn. But I wouldn't say, as I read that note again, that things are hopeless. I would almost say that he's finally making some of the progress he needs to make to begin to move forward in his journey. But I can understand how that shattered your reality to the point that you don't know that you want to be there. When it's really early on in a situation like that, that psychological numbness is normal. I would hope over time that maybe you can have him clarify again. And I think when he finishes his journey, you'll discover that what he was telling you initially really is true. He just needs not to assume, but he needs to find out and get the insight of what's wrong with him. Next question. Dear Rick, my husband was very involved with another woman for 5+ years. We attended EMS in April, which helped tremendously. The aftercare calls are also great. It's been a long and tough journey. Recently, my husband said something troubling. I was trying to have him share what makes our relationship and marriage safe from this woman now and in the future. He says he imagines she wouldn't be interested in him after what he did to her, how he left her, that she probably would not feel safe with him. I stifled my raging emotions at such an answer, but tried to be calm as I told him I don't want the safety of our relationship to depend on another woman's feelings. He tells me that it won't happen again, but he has also told me those 5 years just happened. He says he's determined to keep our relationship safe from intruders. He thinks the unlikelihood that that woman would want to be in a relationship with him again gives us an extra layer of protection. Such belief on his part makes me uncomfortable. And by the way, it'd make me a bit uncomfortable too. Wouldn't want it to hinge on somebody else. Although I did not tell him, I believe my husband's assessment of her feelings toward him may be totally wrong, and I'm not convinced she has no further interest in him. And two, I find it disconcerting that he has any consideration for her feelings. I appreciate any comments. Signed, still healing, but definitely afraid to trust. That's a great situation. And I think when someone is coming out of a relationship, and I'm going to speak a little bit as an unfaithful partner, and I want to validate how you're feeling, by the way. I'm sure that scared you to death that he said, you know, she wouldn't want to be with me. But that also leaves your thoughts open to the fact that, well, maybe she wants to be with him, or that he wants to be with her, and he's only not with her because she doesn't want to be with him. I don't know that that's true or not, but oftentimes it is quite the journey for someone to break out of an entangled relationship, and I'm assuming that's what this was, a limerent relationship with someone. And I can certainly understand why he would see that as not something of, you know, he would find relief in the fact that she doesn't want to be with him, partially because it is one of the way he assuages his guilt for what he's done to another human. 'Cause ultimately, you know, that's part of his problem, is he screwed up another person's life. Now, I know that you're not going to care for what he did to her. But if he has any insight, he needs to care deeply about the fact that he has hurt a lot of people. His defects of character have not only messed up you and your kids, but if he goes back and really does good 12-step work, he'll discover there's an entire, you know, railway car line of boxcars filled with bleeding bodies because of the way he's looked at life. And you know, I don't see his saying she wouldn't want to be with me again necessarily as his saying he wants to be with her, but I think it's probably his way of understanding her so that he doesn't have to feel guilty about what he did to her. And I know it sounds weird, but and if he hasn't done Hope for Healing yet, by the way, that would be a really good course for him, because he needs to be with some other men to help gain perspective. And listening to you and other people who haven't necessarily been in it, and even therapists, they may not fully understand that. But when he gets in a group of 8 other men, if he said something like that, it would be a really good thing for him to hear their perspectives on what he said. My answer that I'm giving you is I want to take away some of the fear, because I think there's some interesting motivations as to why he said that. I don't agree with what he said. I think he's got a long ways to go in his own recovery. I still do think just the fact that he would think like that in some ways shows there's some good signs that maybe he can heal. So I don't see that all as a negative, but certainly have him consider taking the Hope for Healing course, and he can talk to somebody at Fair Recovery about that particular course at fairrecovery.com. So I want to thank everybody for their questions today, and we will talk again next Monday. So long.